You can be seated. It's my happy privilege to be here again tonight under the tent, be with you people and feel the lovely presence of Jesus. How sweet and wonderful it is to come together to worship the Lord and to feel His wonderful presence. You know, I've done a lot of things in my lifetime, and I'm sure you have, but I've never had anything so wonderful happen to me as feeling the wonderful presence and Spirit of God. That's the sweetest thing that's ever happened to me. And so then it's wonderful to be here tonight, feel His lovely presence, and to know that God is with us and that God is helping us. I see some people here tonight that wasn't here last night, and it's good to have them here with us. See some people from High Point, North Carolina, here tonight. Certainly welcome every one of you. Appreciate you so much, especially those from Little Bethlehem, we learned to love so dear. Appreciate those being here with us. And from night to night, I feel like the Lord will bless us and do something special for us. You love Jesus?
Amen.
How many of you believe God will do something special for us?
Amen.
I believe He will. Let me ask you to stand with me one more time while we read just a scripture here. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Reading from over in the book of St. Luke in the 13th chapter at the first verse. It said, "And a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit on it, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." You can be seated. You know, I'd like to take just a minute and talk with you, if I may. Ordinarily, coming to a place like Charlotte, the first thing that I or most any minister would think is that God has sent us to town to bring a word of judgment, because Charlotte is a wicked place. How do you agree that Charlotte is a wicked place? Everywhere I've been in the world, I've found it to be a wicked place. Even the city of Jerusalem and in the Holy Land, as we walked there and ministered the gospel, I found it to be wicked over in that area. Wickedness across the world, everywhere, everything is becoming exceedingly wicked. People are being taken by the powers of Satan more and more. And so then coming to a city like Charlotte, the first thing that you think is, God has sent me here to bring a word of judgment. But did you know God didn't send me to Charlotte to bring judgment? But as I read to you tonight, even though God is not pleased with Charlotte, and even though Charlotte has not brought forth the fruit that God desires that it should bring forth, yet it's like the man said there when he said, "Lord, leave it alone. Give me one more year to dig around it. And if it bear fruit, well. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, we'll just cut it down and forget about it." And that's what the Lord has decided about Charlotte, to give it a little more time. To give it a little more time. Perhaps somebody has been praying. Perhaps somebody's been fasting. Somebody's been seeking the Lord in this area. Who knows? The Bible speaks of one occasion where one little woman saved the entire city. And somebody might have been praying here. Somebody could be in the city like Lot was down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Just one person down there calling on the name of Jesus. And they found favor in the sight of God, and God spared it. As in the days of Noah, one man calling on God, and God spared a family because he called on the name of the Lord. So then perhaps that's the way it is with Charlotte. Maybe God is going to dig around it a little more. Maybe God's going to work with it a little more. And then after that, if it doesn't bear fruit, then God will cut it down. John in his writings, he looked and he said, "Behold, I saw all the cities of the nations crumble to the ground. I saw the great buildings. I saw the great skyscrapers. I saw them as they literally crumbled down to the earth. I saw them," John said. "I beheld them as they crumbled to the earth. John, as he saw the earth go into a great convulsion, begin to roll and begin to tumble, the great earthquakes begin to strike, he said, I saw the cities crumble to the ground. I saw the great cities of New York. I saw the great buildings of Los Angeles, the great cities like New York. I saw the great buildings like the buildings of Los Angeles, like Atlanta, Georgia. And I saw them crumble to the ground, all because of sin. Men's work. Work that's taken many hundreds of years. Yet I saw it all go to nothing. People. Great men and women. Great men and women. Rich. Mighty. Educated. Full of wisdom and understanding. So far as the world's concerned. John said, I saw them pass away. I saw them turned into the lake of fire. I saw all of these things. Then he said, I looked and I saw something else. I saw the Ancient of Days. I saw him whose hair was as white as the wool. And I saw him that sat upon the throne. And I saw him as he broke forth. And I beheld him, John said, there was nothing that could stand before him. Nothing. All of the earth fled away. Even the earth could find no place in his presence. And it fled away. And all of humanity, every person, was found not to be able to stand in his glorious presence. The great white throne of the judgment, the great Ancient of Days, as he broke forth, the mountains moved away and vanished into nothing. The earth moved away and vanished into nothing. Friend, tonight you can't realize how close that hour is. You have no idea tonight, unless you're tuned in on heaven, how close that hour is. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, you don't know either. But the Bible tells us that we do know. We're not children of darkness that day should come upon us unaware. But ye shall know when it's nigh. When you see all these things, you'll know that it's even at the door. Jesus spoke of earthquakes, all of these great calamities that was going to befall the earth. And he sat over against the temple, and he began to tell his disciples about the sorrows and the heartaches that was coming. And they said, Lord, tell us when these things are going to be. And Jesus began to expound his way of life to them and the future. And he began to say, there shall be great earthquakes. And there shall be great famines. You know, we've already seen earthquakes, haven't we? We've already seen famines, haven't we? There shall be great earthquakes, he said, and there shall be great famines throughout the world, throughout the land. And there shall be a great betrayal among the people, and the sons and daughters shall betray the parents. And the parents shall betray the sons and daughters. Have you ever seen such as is in our day? That mothers doesn't care anymore about daughters. They just turn them loose to the wind, let them go where they want to and do what they want to, as long as they don't bother them. And children rising up against the parents, saying what they will to the parents, having no respect, no regard to them. Just speaking as they will to them. Have you ever heard of a day like that? Did you know, according to the Holy Scriptures, the Lord had such strict discipline in the old Bible, in the olden days of the patriarch, that if a son was stubborn, the Bible said a mother and daddy had to come before the judges and before they that were the leaders of Israel. And they had to stand there and say, my son is stubborn and he's rebellious. And they had to throw the first stones at him to kill him. And they had to stand and behold it while the people would stone them to death just because they were stubborn. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, surely God wouldn't do a thing like that. The Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? God hasn't changed. I said last night, just because we got a day of grace, that doesn't mean that God has changed. But it means God has given us a little space of time to where we can repent of our sins, to where we can correct the disorders of our life. You know, it's wonderful to preach divine deliverance and divine healing. And I preach and I believe it and I practice it. But you know, we're never going to have divine deliverance until we get in touch with heaven. Until we turn our hearts back to God. Take any divine deliverance preacher, and you'll find out the main theme of his message is turn back to God. Now you might find a few hypocrites here and there, but a real man of God that's preaching deliverance and getting results. He preaches that you need to turn your heart to God. And though it doesn't seem like they're preaching the same message, yet if you'll check up on them, if you'll read real close after them, if you'll listen real close, you'll find out that they're just trying to ease along with the people. But they're carrying the same identical message to the world because they have to speak the same thing. It might be like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They might use a different approach. One to get this group and another to get this group and to work them all together. But brother, they got one message. Hallelujah. What kind of message is that, Brother Pike? That Christ Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That Christ is the Chief Shepherd. Hallelujah. And that deliverance is in His name. Hallelujah. So then, we see that there's going to be something to happen at this age. At this time, we've already seen earthquakes. Now notice this. Jesus, as he expounded these things, he said to them, he said, these are the beginning of sorrows. When you hear about these great earthquakes, when you understand about these great famines, then he said, this is the beginning of sorrows. This is the time when sorrow shall strike the earth. At this hour, said, when you see these things beginning to come into place, it will be the time of the beginning of sorrows. Beloved friend, the beginning of sorrows is upon you. Oh, there's so much sorrow. You can't hardly ride down the highway or take a trip without being afraid that there will be a tragic crash along the way. Just riding down the highway out of Charlotte a few days ago, I looked and five vehicles piled up at one time on the superhighway on a bridge. Hardly any way to escape it anymore. There's sorrows, multitudes of people going insane. Cancer, no doubt in this congregation tonight. There's probably many folks tonight in this very congregation that has cancer eating their lives out. Perhaps they've got some kind of dreadful disease. They've either got heart condition naturally or spiritually. Something is wrong with them. Things are happening to them. What is it? It's the beginning of sorrows. Mothers are sitting at home and their daughters and sons, they don't know where they're at anymore. What's the matter? It's the beginning of sorrows. Why is the daughter out there? Why is the son out there? Because they've lost respect for mommy and daddy. They know that mother doesn't stand for anything and daddy doesn't stand for anything. And they say, I've got my own life to live and I'm going to live it. You've lived yours, mother. You've lived yours, daddy. You've done what you want to. Now this is my day. But oh, let me tell you something. Listen to me, friend. There is only one life, and that's in Christ Jesus. There is only one way, and that's the way called Christ. You can't go but one way, and that's His way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man. It's His own way. For the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. But there's only one way to go, and Jesus said, I'm that way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. There's but one way. That way is Christ the Savior. Go His way. It's the only way to go. His way is the right way. All the paths of God are peace. If you're looking for peace, if you're looking for joy, if you're looking for strength, then you've got to go the way of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A lot of people come looking for healing and for deliverance. And they should do that. God is a healer. God is a deliverer. God wants to heal your sick body. Friend, don't ever let the devil tell you that God doesn't want you to be well and healthy. God wants you to be well and healthy.
Now you say, but Brother Pike, I don't believe that God wants us to be healthy all the time. But God does want you well and healthy. Hallelujah. God wants you full of the health and life of Jesus the Christ. He wants your soul and life bubbling with springs of living water. It is God's will for you to be healthy. It is God's will for you to be happy. It is God's will for you to be at peace. It is God's will for you to be prosperous. God wants you to have it. It is not God that's holding you back from it. You say, well, God can do anything, Brother Pike. If God wants me healthy and happy, why doesn't God do something about it? But it isn't God's fault. God's done everything He knows to do for you. He spilt the blood out of His veins. The body of Jesus suffered misery, torment, to bear your infirmities in His body on the tree, and to take your sicknesses that you might not have to have them, to give you joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit of God, that you might enjoy it. Hallelujah. So that you can be victorious and be triumphant in this life. God has granted it unto you. Then you say, if God isn't doing it, then who is doing it? The Bible tells us that thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. Thine iniquities has held thee back from good things. Think about that. Thine iniquities has separated between thee and thy God, and has held thee back from the great, grand, glorious things that God has in store for you. Think what it would mean if we could turn our bodies over to God. You say, Brother Pike, I'll turn my soul over to God. But that's not enough. The Bible tells us to glorify God in our body, to be holy in body and in spirit. For the Bible tells us that the body is the temple of God, and that we should glorify God with these bodies. I said last night, that's where the problem is. See, God has saved us. God's paid the price. Not only for spiritual redemption, but for bodily redemption. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, we're waiting for the redemption of our body. But the Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that. Hallelujah. We've got more benefits a lot of times than we recognize or realize. You say, but we are waiting for the redemption of our body, Brother Pike. But the Bible tells us that we're waiting to with the redemption of our body. There's a world of difference in it. We're waiting to with the redemption of our body. The price for redemption's already been paid. Amen. There could be no healing if the price had not been paid. Did you know that your body could not be healed if there had not been a price paid for the redemption of the body? How could Christ Jesus restore the withered hands? How could He do it? How could He make the cripple to walk again? How could He do it? You understand what I'm saying? There's been a price that's paid for your body. Your bodies belong to God. He bought it with a price, the price of His own blood. And He tells us to glorify God in our bodies. It's the temples of the Holy Spirit. And oh, if we could just get a hold of it tonight and realize that we have the power to redeem these bodies. We have the power tonight to redeem these bodies. We have the power tonight to overcome sickness, overcome sin and trouble and poverty. We've got the power tonight to overcome fears, conflicts, and the bewilderments of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like Johnny Cash, I believe, was taking what they call 100 pep pills a day. And even though he's never learned about Jesus the way some people have, he learned enough about Jesus that he didn't need pep pills. Amen. He left them alone. Glory to God. That means that we have power over those things. And somebody asked him the question, said, how did you ever get away from being a dope addict? He said, I gave my body to God to whom it belongs. You understand? The devil is a cruel taskmaker. Hallelujah. Glory to God, when we turn our bodies into the temple of the Holy Ghost, when we put our bodies in the hands of the Almighty God, when we glorify God with every deed that we do, then our spirit receives of His great and mighty blessings, and the body begins to be filled with the virtues of Jesus. Have you ever felt the virtue of Christ? Have you ever felt the virtue of Christ? Let me see your hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible said as He healed, as He walked along and healed, they pressed in and touched Him. Everyone that touched him, the Bible said, was immediately made whole. And the Bible said every one of them was healed. For there went out of his body virtue. Hallelujah. That went out of his body virtue. And everyone that received the virtue was healed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Said, Solomon, you build the house and I'll take pleasure in it. And Solomon built the house and he placed the stones together. And he got the house up. And God said, Solomon, everyone that looketh in the direction of his house shall be healed. If they call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible said, whose building ye are. Paul said, you're God's building. You're God's lively stones built up into a holy priesthood. Tonight the Holy Ghost is dwelling within you. The virtues of the living God is within you tonight. John waxed bold in seeing the vision and the revelation. And he said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Think about that. The tabernacle of the living God tonight is among men. Oh, the world doesn't see it. They don't know that we're sons and daughters of God. They don't understand. But the tabernacle of God is among men tonight. Tonight, God is in his body. We are the bone and flesh of the living God tonight. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And God is in us tonight. He's walking in the midst of us. And the Holy Spirit is here. The angelic forces is here. The mighty Holy Ghost is here. Jesus resurrected from the dead. The Christ is here tonight. Where two or three come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, Jesus said. Glory to God. What a wonderful thought tonight. I spoke last night concerning your faith. Cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. With the tribulation coming, with the hardships coming, with the sorrows coming, with all the devastation, the blows that's coming upon the cities of the world. Right here at the time of crisis. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Oh, hallelujah. I've got faith in God. Have you ever just stopped and breathed just for a minute and say, my God, I've got faith in Christ. What a treasure. There may be, as it would seem, many treasures in the world. There may be many things in the world, beloved friend. But I want you to know tonight, there's nothing like having faith in God. There's nothing like having faith in the living God. Faith. The power of God in your life. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. If thou canst believe and doubt not, Jesus said, but can believe that the things that you speak of or say shall come to pass. And don't doubt in your heart, he said, you shall have whatsoever you say. Glory to God, I believe that. I believe that. I believe that God meant every word that he said. I believe that when God said it, he meant every word of it. Tonight, God will grant to me whatever I ask him to give me. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith in God. Tonight, I have a treasure. I have faith in God. I've made it my business to have faith in God. I've called upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible said, hereby we assure our hearts, making this our confidence that we have. We do those things that please God. Therefore, we receive whatever we ask of him. Having faith in the living God tonight, I stand here with happiness, with peace, and with joy. Not having to be religious, not having to make believe, but enjoying the wholesomeness of living. Being assured that not only in this life I shall reap a benefit, but glory to God that I've got a benefit beyond the veil. Hallelujah. Treasures that pass not away. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, friend. A man or a woman is a great thing. Did you know that? There is nothing greater than a human being. If that human being is in connection with God, except that human being is controlled by Christ, there is nothing greater. There is nothing better. There is nothing mightier. There is nothing that's superior. But if he does not have God, if she does not have God, there are nothing but beasts. Nothing but beasts just to pass away. Something that God will put out of his remembrance to remember no more. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, I love him. Hallelujah. I feel him like the deep billows of the ocean as it rolls over in my soul. Glory to God. What a great and a mighty thing, a human being. What a great and a mighty thing, a human being. Someone that can stand in the presence of the beloved King. Somebody that can stand there and have fellowship with him and commune with him. Moses on the mountain stood before God, and God talked to him and said, who is this that's likened to my man Moses? I will speak face to face with him. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that great and mighty Moses. But just think, that great and mighty Moses. But we'll never enjoy that privilege. But brothers, if God would do that for Moses, what would he do for a son of God? Hallelujah! If God would speak that way to Moses, what would he do for me? Come down, communicate with me. More than that. Hallelujah. He just spoke to Moses. But he said, Brother Pike, sanctify your heart. I'm moving in, son. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm coming to live with you. Coming to abide with you forever. Sanctify thy vessel. I'm moving in. I'm moving in. Glory to God. I feel him at home, don't you, Scotty? I feel him at home. Oh, hallelujah. I feel him at home. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? What a wonderful thought. Christ looking for a place. You know, I thought about this hay. They got this hay, spread it all around here. A little babe born in a manger. A little babe born in a manger. A little Christ child. Hallelujah. Springing up into Charlotte. The great queen city giving birth. Hallelujah. To a Christ child. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel him shining in my soul. Hallelujah. We sang that song, Jesus on the Main Line. Hallelujah. Don't you feel him? Hallelujah. Glory to God, like the billows of the great ocean rolling within my heart. Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody that is resurrected from the dead. Lo, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. I was dead, but now I'm alive, Jesus said. Alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And tonight he dwells in your heart. He dwells in my heart tonight. Beloved friend, he dwells in your heart. Are you a believer tonight? Are you a believer? If you are a believer, then God dwells in your heart tonight. If thou canst believe. A centurion came to Jesus and he said, good master. He said, my servant needs healing. Said he's sick, grievously tormented of the palsy. And he came up to Jesus and he said, would you do something about it? Jesus said, why, sure. Sure, where do you live? Said, I'll go over there. Hallelujah. He was a man like I'm a man. How do you know that? Said, I'll go over to your place. Oh, he said, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. Glory to God. Wait a minute. I'm talking to Jesus. Oh, he said, I'm not worthy for that. You ever had some special guest, you know, they go home with you and you get all nervous and scared. Linda, I forgot to sweep the floor, forgot to wash the dishes. My, we should have known it's coming this morning. You know, there's somebody special to you. Jesus said, I'll come over there. He said, no. No, he said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, Lord, for that. No, that's going too far. Glory to God, I didn't ask you to do that. He said, look, I'm a man. I'm a man of authority. I'm a man of authority. I got people that work under me. All I do is I just tell them to do something, and they do it. So see, I know that you are of authority. All you got to do is just say that, and that'd be all it is to it. Oh, Jesus marveled. Jesus looked at him and marveled. And he turned to his following. And he said, oh, what great faith is in the heart of this man. I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Oh, Jesus, just say the word. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if you could just believe the word? The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And the minister comes to speak God's word. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if you could just take God's word for it? And when God tells you that you're healed and delivered and set free, that you could just take his word for it. For the Bible said, he shall not be the minister speaking, but shall be God speaking from within him. Let all the world keep silent, for God is within his temple. Wouldn't it be wonderful? The Bible said he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and he healed them. Tonight, if you're sick, tonight, if you're bound with spirits, tonight, if you're having problems, tonight, if you've got vile circumstance of life, tonight, if you've got financial difficulties, my brother and sister, why don't you join hands with me tonight? Why don't you join hands with me tonight? Why don't you come together with me tonight? Hallelujah. Join hands with me tonight and be delivered from evil. Be delivered from evil. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, that couldn't do, but I couldn't be, but I have had people to do it. I've had people to do it. So many multiplied people have joined with me, and I've joined with them in prayer. And they've been delivered from sicknesses, and they've been delivered from demons, and they've been delivered from devils. And they've been delivered from poverty. And they've been delivered from fears and from worries and complex of life. All because they joined hands with me. All because they believed in what I said to them. They accepted the word of God. All you've got to do, Lord, is speak the word. If you'll speak the word, everything will be all right. Why? Well, Lord, I remember the holy prophet said, and it's written of you in the Holy Scriptures. And the prophet said, and God came forth, and there was darkness, and there was no light, and everything was void and without form. And the prophet said, you stood, and he said, let there be light. And that word created light. And he said, let there be trees, and let there be a great ocean, and let there be fish in the ocean, and let there be fowls in the heavens. Lord, and it came to pass. Art thou not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Isn't it true that your word endures to 1,000 generations? Do you ever change, Jesus? Are you the same word to Charlotte tonight that you was to Sodom and Gomorrah? I said, are you the same word? In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And the word came to visit down in Sodom. And the word has come to visit in Charlotte. Art not thou the same word to every generation? The word of faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. In the beginning was the word. There's one thing that God esteemed above his name. That's his word. I couldn't understand that. I said, Lord, the Bible said there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And there's salvation in none other name except that lovely name, Jesus. And here you say that you esteem your word above your name. I said, I can't understand that. And God said to me, he said, son, the scripture doesn't say in the beginning was the name. Come on now. Come on now. It doesn't say in the beginning was the name. It said in the beginning was God's word. And the word was God. Said, isn't it reasonable to think that God's greater than his name? I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me for my ignorance. Are you greater than your name tonight? Sure, you're greater than your name. There might have been things done in that name that you're carrying that you might have overcome by your goodness. Might have been testimonies against it because of what your dad did or somebody else in the family. Isn't that right? But you might have risen up over the name and established a good testimony in spite of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you say, Brother Pike, you're taking away from the name. I'm adding to the name. Glory to God. Can't you see I'm adding to the name? You say, how are you doing that? Because if God chose the name Jesus to be the name of the Word, for the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld it as of that of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. If God named the Word Jesus, think what a mighty name it is. None of the name given under heaven. Salvation in the name. The Word in the name. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. I believe that shedding of our remission of sins by the blood. I believe that too. I believe that. I believe that. Somebody would say, now I don't believe there's any remission without the shedding of blood. I know the way some of your minds go as Bible scholars, and that's good. That's good. I believe that remission of sins by the shedding of blood. I believe that. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But who shed his blood? Come on now. I said, who shed his blood? Somebody tell me who shed his blood. See, it's by the shedding of blood, but whose blood? All right, how do we become relative to it? How do I become relative to that blood? Through his name. Hallelujah! I am buried with him in his death, taking on the name of the Lord. Losing my identity in death, becoming one with the Word. And thus the Word is made flesh. And thus I become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Thus I have royal blood flowing through my veins. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I have been made heir to the benefits through the blood, in that I have become relative to the name of him who shed the blood. So it is personified to me through the name of the personification of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so we're entering into the sorrows of this hour. Mothers have great sorrows. Dads have great sorrows. Great trouble is taking place. That means a day is becoming dark. A gross darkness shall cover the people. See, in the end time, the Bible said gross darkness would cover the people. Is that right? See, we're right here when gross darkness is covering the people. Right at the end time, it said would happen. But you know there's something else the Bible said would happen too. What was that? It said, and there shall be light in the evening time. You love that? The path to glory we shall surely find. Hallelujah. For great light is spring up unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. God looked down from heaven and he saw the prisoners, them that was appointed unto death. And he loosed them by the blood spilled at Calvary. And God said, great light shall spring up to them at the evening time, though darkness will cover them. Have you got just a minute? Just a minute or two, and I'm going to close. We had a good, patient congregation last night. I didn't keep them all that long, but real patient. I feel you patient tonight. Feel you willing to listen. But I feel a little tugging on the old man, pulling out you underway. Hallelujah. You know what darkness is? You know what darkness is? You know, I take a little time in my messages to try to teach just a little bit here and there, to drop a thought or two. You know what darkness is? Why did the Lord tell you not to lean to your own understanding? Why did he say do that? Because darkness is your own understanding. You're born into darkness. From the fall, from the tree of knowledge, falling after the educational systems of the world to continue the darkness, to make it stronger. Always growing stronger in the darkness. And God said to Paul when he received the revelation of light, said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. You remember when Rebecca came across the desert? She put a veil over her face, isn't that right? You remember that? Sent down there to get a bride for the son, put a veil over her. See, that's the way it is. We got a veil over us. You know why? We're crossing those desert places. Crossing those desert places. Hot, dry places. Crossing those places. Hallelujah. Going over them. See, Eliezer stuck his hand under the thigh of Abraham. And Abraham said, swear unto me that you'll go down and get my son a wife. And the Bible said he did. He was loyal. He went down there. Stood by the well in the evening time when the women come out to draw. And as they came out to draw water, he stood there. And he sent out a fleece to God. And he said, now, Lord, I've come in all faithfulness, all loyalty to get your son a wife. I don't know which one it should be, but you're the God of heaven. You tell me and I'll know. And he said, Lord, I'm going to stand by this well. And when these virgins come out to draw in the evening time, said, the one that will water my camels, said, I'm going to take that to be the lady. And they all came out, but nobody said anything about watering his camels. But after a while, he approached this young lady. And he said, I'd love to have some water from the well. I'd love to have a drink. And the young lady said to him, well, I said, sure, sure, plenty. He said, besides that, said, I'll water the camels. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's plenty of water for you and me and the camels too. And he watered his camels. Watered his camels. You know, I've said this a lot of times. That's what's taken us over these dry places is the watered camels. You forget to water the camels and you won't have nothing to ride on. Did you know that? You know, those camels was a symbol of the Ten Commandments of God. And the Bible said, he that loveth me will keep my commandments. Is that right? Just keep watering the camels. Because it's the camels that's going to take us over. I said last night, God saves his people by judgment. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law as God smote him through judgment. Then it was folded up and laid away. And the ten camels started their journey across this hot, dry place. And the Bible said the evil spirits wander through dry places seeking rest and can't find it. And between heaven and earth, they've got their kingdom set up. For Satan is the prince of the ruler over the powers that's in the air. And we're on our way from earth to heaven. But we got to cross those gravitational powers, those evil places coming from Egypt over to Canaan. Got to go the way to the wilderness. We have to be careful lest the serpents bite us. Isn't that right? So then watering the camels. And the Bible said that he gave her jewels and beautiful things. And after a while, she sat down on the camels and they were on their way. On their way. Hallelujah. She pulled a veil down over her face as she approached that man Isaac. That's the way it is. See, there's a veil over our face. The Bible said in the reading of the Old Testament, there is a glass darkly that we have to look through. There is a veil, a glass darkly from the fall in the garden. There is that veil that was slipped down over the eyes of our understanding. Isn't that right? That darkness. Paul turned my people from darkness to light. The veil has been slipped down over. She ever heard of the death veil once born? Some witch will say, that's a death veil over that baby. See, the death veil of the intellectual tree of reasoning. To be carnally minded is death. To go by the way of the tree is to fail to believe. For to be carnally minded means that you cannot believe. That's death. You're born into death the first time you're born. You're born to die. But they that are born to the Spirit of God, they're born to live. So then the death veil was there. And Rebecca, she pulled the veil down when she got close. You know what the veil is for? To keep a shamefaced. The Bible said, let the ladies be shamefaced. Isn't that right? Today they're real boldfaced. Everything but shamefaced. That's right. But see, a woman is a type of people in general. Men. See, we're a woman to God. How do you know that we're female and he's male? Sure, this body's female. God comes into it. He's a spirit. Is that right? He's masculine. We're feminine. That's why he calls us the bride. You understand what I'm saying? So then the woman should be shamefaced. And the veil will slip down over her face. See, God's got that veil darkly over our face. So then when we look at Jesus, we'd be shamefaced. You understand what I'm saying? Realizing that we're in sin. Realizing we're not equal to him. Realizing he's everything and we're nothing. We're shamefaced. We got the veil over us. But glory to God, the Bible said when she lighted off the candle, she said to Eliezer, said, who is that? Eliezer said, that's him. Hallelujah. That's the one you've been looking for. Said, that's him. Glory to God. That's that rich young ruler. Oh, now, wait a minute. Somebody said, now, he wasn't a rich young ruler. The Bible said Abraham was exceedingly rich, and Isaac was heir to all that he had. Said Rebecca, that's that rich young ruler. Hallelujah, that's your husband-to-be. Glory to God. And she lighted off of the camels. See, watering the camels, they took her over. And the Bible said he took her into the mother's tent, and he removed the veil. And the Bible said the glass darkly shall be done away with, and then we shall see face to face. And we shall know as we're known. Paul, tell my people from the darkness of this world unto light. For there shall be light in the evening time. And the light of God's coming. And the revelation of Jesus Christ is appearing. And the understanding of God is being unveiled. And things are beginning to take place. Sorrows upon the world, the beginning of sorrows. But folks, we can escape. There is a way of escape. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. For they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And why did they do it? By the word of their testimony. Because he is the high priest of our confession, and they confess Christ and they confess the victory, and the high priest made it so. Can you confess him tonight? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Confession is made of by the lips unto salvation. Can you believe tonight in the resurrection of Jesus? Can you confess it with your mouth tonight? I want you to stand with me. I know I've kept you a long time tonight, but I appreciate your kind attention. Speaking of water and the camels, it looks like the waters. There it is. I thought it done give out. Hallelujah. You love Jesus tonight? Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? It's so wonderful. I want you to bow your heads with me for just a minute and give me just a moment to get a little bit of water. Now, I love you tonight. And I appreciate you. Every one of you, I appreciate you. God bless your hearts. It's wonderful that you'll come out to hear the gospel of Jesus. Take my word tonight. Something is happening, beloved, for him. Something is happening. I mean, it's happening at this hour. You know, we make the sad mistake of thinking not today but tomorrow. God, you may not heal me today, but you will tomorrow. And God, I may not get saved today. I've got some things to do, but I'll get right tomorrow. Father, I know that you're not coming today, but you may come tomorrow. But did you know the Bible said, if a man be wicked, he shall not see when good cometh. There might be some good coming, and you might not see it. Have you thought of it like that? There may be some good around, and perhaps you've not seen it. There may be some things that's happening in heaven, and you've not seen them. I say this so often. I had a vision not too long ago, and I was standing out, and I was raptured up into heaven. And I stood up into the high heavens, there between heaven and earth. And I looked down, and I looked up, and the heavens was filled with great and mighty things. And I saw, as John did in the book of Revelation, I saw great and mighty things taking place. And as I looked, I was so amazed and so thrilled, so carried away, until I looked back down to earth, and there was a multitude of people. And I was screaming out, and I said, look, look, oh, look and see what's taking place. And I kept screaming to the people. And the people kept looking at me. They kept looking at me. And I stopped. All of a sudden I stopped. And I thought, Lord, what's wrong? And I thought, well, these people don't see this. Then I said, look, folks, look. I said, look here. Look. But I noticed they just kept looking at me. And they didn't see anything. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me that they didn't see those things. That they didn't see those things. And I was so disappointed. I looked back and I looked in heaven. I looked back. And I said, oh God, they don't see those things. They don't see those things. Oh, isn't that the way it is today? Amen. Having eyes to see, we see not when it comes to heavenly things. Having ears to hear, we hear not when it comes to heavenly things. Isn't that right? The Bible said the children of this world are wise to do evil, but not to do good. That is, they have the wisdom of this world, but they don't have the wisdom of God to do his bidding. Why is that? The Bible said they love darkness rather than light. They love the carnal mind. They love that that come from the fall in the garden. They love their intellectual reasoning. Isn't that right? They love darkness rather than light because their deeds aren't evil. And they will not come to the light lest their deeds be reproved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through this meeting, I'm going to say some strange things to some of you. It won't be strange to some of you, but it's going to be real strange to some of you. And I know that some of you are going to say, my, I never thought it was like that. But I'll say some strange things. But I like to work my way up to it before I do. It'll be Bible. You won't be able to get it off the foundation. It'll be line upon line and precept upon precept. It'll be God's word. But it'll help you to understand. Help you to find your way. Help you to know what's right and what's wrong. Hallelujah. While they're playing us a little music, I want to take a few minutes with you tonight. Last night it wasn't late when we got away. About 10 o'clock. That isn't late for a tent meeting. They used to stay all night long. That isn't late. And last night as I began to pray, and I tried to let God have his way. Just whatever he does, that's what I want him to do. I'm satisfied with it. As I began to pray, the Holy Spirit began to speak. He began to speak. And as he began to speak, I began to understand some things. You know, when the anointing of the Lord comes down, you begin to understand some things. The Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. See, he was caught away in the Spirit on the Lord's day. 96 A.D., exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Over there, not too far off the shores of Asia Minor. There John was exiled. But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Holy Spirit began to move. And something began to take place. What a wonderful thought. The great Spirit of the living God began to settle down. And things begin to happen. John began to see and John began to understand. And that's the way it is today. When the Holy Spirit begins to come down, men's hearts are made manifest. And you begin to understand what they're thinking. I wish I had time to work with you more under the tent. So many times I see you. And the Lord tells me the thoughts of your heart. But people are restless. People are so weary. People are so tired. People can't stay anywhere very long. They're restless. They're so nervous. They're so built up. Their nerves are so overcharged until they're restless. That's why men drink to drown their sorrow. That's why they take dope to get away from those thoughts that keep tearing them apart. You understand? Young ladies used to wouldn't take dope. But young ladies take dope too, just like young men. Everybody. But isn't it good to be a Christian? Isn't it good to be a Christian? Don't worry about the man that's drinking. It's all right. The Lord might have brought him here to deliver him. Hallelujah. So then something is taking place for him. Tonight, while they play on the organ, I want you to bow your heads with me again, and I want to pray with you. And while I'm praying, and while the heads are bowed, tonight there might be some that's unsaved. There might be some that wants to serve Jesus. Young or old, it doesn't make any difference. You might say, but Brother Pike, I've tried that way, and I can't make it. But you didn't try hard enough. You didn't try hard enough. See, don't say that you can't make it because Brother Pike made it. Hundreds of others made it. Sure, you can make it too. You can make it. But you've got to mean business. You've got to try hard. You've got to sell out to God. And listen, the Bible teaches it's not very long and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. Isn't that right? All the tribes of the earth. Now I want to apologize tonight. There's some of them that didn't even come out of their vehicles tonight because they didn't have cheers. They sent word that they just stay in their vehicles. Didn't come out because they didn't have cheers. The man that was supposed to get our cheers for us, he forgot. He come to me and said, Brother Pike, I forgot until the last minute. And they're trying to get some. They said at the beginning of the meeting, they try to get some. We have a lot of cheers, but we give away hundreds of cheers to different evangelists to help them. And sometimes that makes us short. So forgive me. I see a number of people outside standing up. Forgive me. Had some standing last night. But while you've got your heads bowed, I want you to know that I love you tonight and God loves you. And I want you to know that something is taking place in the Spirit tonight. Something is taking place in the Spirit tonight. But friend, you've got to believe. See the eyes of thine understanding being enlightened. The eyes of thine understanding. Can you think tonight as an individual? Can you think tonight as an individual? Don't think as a congregation tonight. Don't think as a congregation tonight. Don't think as a family tonight. You're not going to answer to God as a family. You're not going to answer to God as some society, not as some church, but you're going to have to answer to God as an individual. How is it with your soul? Though you may belong to a church tonight, a great organization, and you may have many friends and much fellowship, you may work on a job and you may be important where you work, but listen, dear friend, when you go to die, not one of them can go along with you. Not one of them can walk the dark, lonesome valley with you. Though you may have many friends, though you may have much money, there'll be no consolation from the financial realms. There'll be no consolation out of all the materialistic values that you own. There'll be no consolation. And when Elvis Presley went to die, he had nobody to go with him. Millions of dollars, millions of people admired him, but he couldn't take one of them with him. Not one of them could hold his hand. Not one of them could walk that dark, lonesome valley with him. Not one. His wife, nor his children, nor those that admired him, nor those that had sinned with him. None of them could walk the valley with him. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of this death. You know, looking down from heaven, the world is a valley. And over this valley hangs the shadows of the dark clouds of doubts and fears and death. The evil spirits of satanic forces, Satan, over this valley. And David said, I'm walking through this valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of this death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy word and thy spirit, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me as I walk through this valley. Though it's dark and deep, and though it seems so lonely, and I seem so cut off and so separated. You know, folks, have you noticed in this hour, there has never been an hour like this hour. Think about it now, just for a moment. There has never been an hour like this hour. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I mean that everybody is separated from everybody. Don't you understand what I'm saying? You're not with your wife anymore, husband. Admit the truth. There's a distance between you and her. Your wife, you're not with her husband anymore. There's a distance between you. There's a gap. There's a bridge. There's a gulf you can't get over. It's between you and the husband. It's between you and the wife. It's between you, mother and the daughter. It's between your dad and the son. Sometimes you just want to reach out and take some of them into your arms, but there's a distance of something that keeps you from it. Oh my, what is it? It's that hour. It's that hour. It's that hour. The darkness was so great down in Egypt that they could feel the darkness. And it's so great in the day we're living in, gross darkness covering the people. You can feel the darkness. You can feel it on your nerve system. You can feel it pressing you. You can feel it overcoming you. You can tell it's dark. What is it? God is separating every individual. You're getting ready to walk that lonesome valley. You're beginning to feel the pangs of sorrow. You're going to walk the lonesome valley. It's there. And you feel yourself separating from every strength. Every strength. And as you separate, something inside is crying, my God. My God, I feel so alone. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? and you feel that dark loneliness. But then all of a sudden as you draw near to Him, and that's why He's letting it happen. He's letting it happen so you won't have any strength, anybody to lean on before that last dark, deadly moment that you'll call on Him. For if He lets you be happy, if He lets you have all the consolations of life, that day will come upon you suddenly unawares, and you won't be ready. But if you feel that loneliness, that separation, all of a sudden you'll call out, and something will whisper, and it'll say, "Lo, I'm with thee always, even unto the end of the world." And a voice will speak, and you'll hear the voice of the Lord, and He'll talk with you. And He'll say, "Child, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I walked that valley for you. I walked it for you every step of the way. Just take my hand. Take hold of these nail-riven hands, and I'll walk it with you. Mama can't go and daddy can't go. Sister and brother and loved ones can't go. But take my hand, child. I'll walk it with you." Hallelujah. What a consolation. What a consolation. What a consolation. Great kings and presidents and rulers and actors and money men all long for those nail-riven hands. When they come to that dark moment, they start to grasp and they start to looking, they start to searching, trying to find that hand, trying to find that hand. Have you got it tonight? The song said, "Invisible hands shall guide me. They endure it as seeing Him who is invisible." He's invisible tonight, but He's your companion. He's your friend. He sticketh closer than a brother tonight. Never leave you, never forsake you. Though you feel cast down, though you feel lonely, and you say, "Lord, there's no way." But He said, "Just have faith, child. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you." Hallelujah. While they're playing on the organ tonight, if you're here and undone without Jesus, I'd like for you to, while they've got their heads bowed, would you slip your hands up? Would you do it for me? Slip your hands up. Just for a moment. Do you really mean it tonight? With your hands raised up and I look around to see them. Do you really mean it tonight? Do you? Hallelujah. If you really mean it, if you're lost and undone without God, if you've ever had an experience with God and you've gone cold, I want you to step out up here with me tonight. Now, I know that coming up here doesn't make you a Christian. I realize that. That doesn't make you a Christian. Hallelujah. Let Him come on up here. It's all right. It's all right. Hallelujah. Would you step out tonight? If you're lost without Jesus, if you're backslid on God, if you're cold tonight, if you're indifferent, if you need a helping hand tonight, would you come up here? While the heads are bowed, would you come up here? And let's sing this chorus while they're coming, will you? We'll pray for you. Don't fret. The Bible said the drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom before they do. Somebody said, "Where do you get that?" You saw Him come up here tonight. Where's the rest of them? I said, you saw Him come up here and fulfill the scripture tonight. Where's all the church folks? You know what's wrong? They know their need. They know their need. Church member, do you know your need? The Laodicean, lukewarm age of people's rights. Do you know your need? Having great cathedrals. The Bible saying we're rich and have need of nothing. Knowing not that you're wretched and naked and blind. Said, I counsel of you to buy of me raiment tried in the fire. Can you buy of me raiment tried in the fire? Try to buy some of this raiment, Jesus said. What kind of raiment is that? The body of the Lord Jesus Christ had passed through the flames of hell. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hallelujah. I counsel of you tonight to buy this raiment that passed through the flame of the fire. Try to buy it tonight with your money. Hallelujah. You say Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll sure do it. We'll pray for you. While they're playing, will you come tonight? Let's sing this little chorus. Where he leads me, I